All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. I'm Kyle. It's a great week. I'm stoked. It's just awesome. I think this is like episode, what is this? If I can do math correctly, this is like episode 179, maybe 180, maybe 178. I'm going to give myself three options because I at least I have a better shot of being right. Not great at math. I don't really know where we are right now. I think we're at 175 as of recording currently. I don't know. Somewhere between 175 and 180 is where we are. We're definitely not at 181, I don't think. So we're somewhere in that range. But I'm really excited today. I get to welcome in a great guest. A guy that I've been going back and forth with for a while. Actually, I got to call you out for something, but we're going to get there too. Corey Wise, dude, thanks for coming to hang out with me, man. I'm excited to get to talk to you a little bit, get to know you and shoot the shit. How are you?
Absolutely, dude. I'm great. Just been playing and writing and going in the studio and doing all the things. So
awesome.
I've been great, dude.
Awesome. So I have to call you out. We got to start off. And I got to let this off my chest because it just needs to happen. So, I don't know, Corey, we've been talking back and forth for a while. It's been a decent amount of time, I feel like. It's like a swipe up on a story here and there. And, you know, like normal conversation, we just talk back and forth, nothing crazy. And there was this one time where we were just having an in-depth conversation about God knows what. I'm not sure what it was. And I was just like, dude, you ever want to come hang on the pod? Come on over. Like, let me know. And you read it and you didn't respond. You read it. And I was like, all right, like you read it. That's fine. No worries. And I was like, I let it go and it was cool. And then like down the road, a few months, same thing happened. We were talking again. I was like, dude, you ever want to like come chill? Just let me know. And I think you responded to the message, to my first message, but you didn't respond to my come hang on the pod message. And I was like, man, this dude really just doesn't want to come and hang out. Crazy. I was like, what the fuck? So then I'm just like, all right, whatever. And we have mutual friends, obviously. So I texted Michael Pace, for those of you who remember that episode, great episode. But I texted Michael. I'm like, dude, what is with Corey and not wanting to come on the pod? I was like, he just didn't answer me. And we laughed about it. He was like, that's so funny. But then like a day later, you messaged the pod account and you said, like, we'd love to come hang out. And I'm like, I was like, what is going on? So then I texted him again. I was like, does he not understand that this is me? Like, does he just like think that I'm just like these are two different things, which is totally possible, I guess. But I was cracking up. I thought it was so funny.
Dude, yeah, that whole situation was just like, it was hilarious to me too, because like it just totally slipped my mind. I think I was just like going through stories, and then I came across the RCM account, and I was like, and you had posted something, and then I was like, oh dude, I want to jump on that podcast, and just like not even thinking.
Yeah.
And then when I went back to your account, or like then I like kind of connected the dots, and like, I went back to our messages on your like personal account, and I was like, oh my God, dude, I'm such an idiot.
It was so funny. You actually, like, I laughed so hard when I saw you send me a message. I was like, this is insane. It was so good. It was so good. But nonetheless, we're here now and we got a good laugh out of it. And I feel like it was important that I need to call you out. I couldn't let you just.
No, I totally agree with you.
I love it. So let's bury that hatchet. We're gonna move on. It's gonna be fantastic, absolutely fantastic. So why don't we start off with just kind of you know, why you are where you are, how you got here, how you got into writing, how you got into songs in general. I made a comparison by listening to your music recently, which I think is like pretty accurate, and I just think it's really great stuff. It's kind of like this refreshing rock country thing that's going on, like kind of like Kit Moore is kind of where I put the two and two. Like it's like country with a little bit of like soul, but without the, you know what I mean, like the classic rock aspect of things that I really like. But kind of how'd you find yourself where you are, and why are you playing music now?
Yeah, dude, I mean, if we're starting from the beginning,
go ahead. Spark Note version.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I'd like to say I grew up with like musical parents, which I kind of did, but they didn't play out and about. Like they didn't play shows or anything. They were both kind of closet players. My mom played organ, loved country music. My dad played acoustic guitar and sang, and he loved country music as well. A lot of rock music as well. But I just grew up, you know, around hearing them in the house and stuff, and it was always kind of like a thing that I've heard, but I went through a lot of phases, you know. I went through like a lot of different hobbies, I guess. You know, skateboarding, that was a big one. That was kind of like my big dream. And then once I got to high school, I got back into country music a little bit and started playing, learning chords. And so then I just started learning covers in my room, you
Nice.
know, just like all of us. And then I just started playing bars and then festivals. And then in like Western Wisconsin, I started growing a fan base. And then I got a cover band. Cover band was doing all the festivals in the area, but I wanted to do more. Songwriting was something that I've always kind of wanted to do, but I just didn't really know where to start with it. And then it was between Austin, Texas, and Nashville. And I picked Nashville because I knew that there was a lot of writing going on here. There's obviously a big writing community, and I wanted to learn more about it. So I just kind of I chose Nashville, and here I am, and I've been
Love
here for a while. So.
it. I love it. That's awesome. I first off, the Wisconsin thing, I feel like the Midwest, right, has gotten more and more people moving to Nashville to pursue music. I've seen it more and more. Like maybe not like in the big grand scheme of things, but like I have a buddy from Minnesota who's doing it. Like there's just like more out there than I think anyone ever realized in terms of like where the stories are coming from, right? And like I'm saying that as a guy, like I'm not saying I sat here and was like, oh, like there's so much country music coming out of the Midwest. I didn't, but I know that now, and I think it's really cool that there's other sides to it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like you look at it was you have Georgia. There's so many artists coming out of Georgia all the way back to, you know, Aldine. You know, you got a lot of the guys that are in town now. You know, all the last 6 years I've been in town, I've met mostly like Georgia guys. And but like you said, like recently I've been hooking up, like linking up with people that are from the Midwest. So I mean, it's really cool to start seeing all these like different artists and different songwriters and stuff coming out of like my area, because when I grew up, like there really wasn't like a big, you know, there wasn't people doing that. I think Josh Thompson was like the only one that like successfully did something from Wisconsin in country music, you know. And then there was a couple other like smaller ones, but you know, other than that, like I think this is kind of like the beginning of seeing more people from, you know, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois.
Right. I think like I want to say like an Earl Thomas Conley's from Minnesota. I think I could be wrong, but I think he might
That,
be.
you know, that sounds that actually does sound right.
I could totally be wrong. I could just be pulling that one out of my butt, but let's
Right.
see.
Yeah, it's like one of those things. It's like, yeah, he sings about the cold and stuff, and but then I'm like, oh, so,
Ohio.
oh, okay. I guess that's still Midwest-ish.
Yeah. I could have been more right. I'm definitely more wrong than I am right on that one.
But he's not from like the South or out West or out east. I mean, you were close.
I was trying. But you're right though. I think that it's really cool to see like people from that area kind of making their way over. Because like, and not for nothing, like a lot of great country music has come out of Georgia. But like it's always go dogs. Why can't it just be go Badgers? You know what I mean? Go Gophers. You know what I'm saying? Like, why not? What's the difference? Because the way I see it is this, like I have a
SEC, that's why. I mean,
yeah, right.
like I mean, honestly, to be honest, I'm not like a huge like college ball guy.
Sure.
I really grow up on it like super heavy, But I definitely, when I moved to the South, like I seen the huge difference between
Dude, they
like
love it. I'm from
and
New Jersey, so I'm like
okay.
up. So like, I mean, you know, I like, I'm like a mid-level sports fan, like pretty much most 20-year-old in their 20s men are, right? Like for the most
Sure.
part, like I'm not like obsessed over it. It doesn't like drive my life. I don't lose sleep over it. And at the end of the day, I could really just be like, whatever, dude. But some of these guys, like, live this shit, and I'm just like,
Oh
gee,
yeah.
living like
I've
insane.
never seen people go so crazy over.
I mean, it's cool, right? Like
Oh yeah. There's
they're
nothing
passionate
wrong
about
with
that. They're passionate about that just as much as we're passionate about this.
it.
So you
Exactly.
gotta look at it that way, but still, it's nuts.
Yeah. I just never seen anything like it, and I'm
Yes.
used to it now. But like when I moved down here, I'm like, wow, these guys are like
Yeah.
serious about
Sure.
about their
Yeah.
sports there.
Yeah, it's nuts. But I love it. Like you know, like there's guys that are my buddy Anderson Daniels, he's from Minnesota, and he like,
Bro,
wait, were you just at his wedding? Am I making that up?
I was just at his wedding. Yeah, I
I
was
knew I saw that. I
at
knew I saw
the
that. I
wedding.
thought I did, but great dude. Awesome dude.
Yeah.
Wore some killer boots to his wedding. Are you kidding me? Come
Yeah, dude.
on. That's
I
what
don't
I'm gonna get
expect
married
anything
in.
less from him.
That's what I'm gonna get married in, dude. But like that's a really good example of a guy who's doing it right out there in Minnesota. And he's playing Minnesota in that Midwest area like people play Texas. And I think that's really cool. I think that's really, really
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah. He's trying to do the that's kind of like what his goal is, and he's doing really well with it. A lot of the he's kind of he's out of the cover game. Like he basically just does like original sets, a
So
lot of
barbecue, good
albums.
for him. Yeah.
Yeah, all over like the Midwest and everything. And it's great, dude. It's I would really like to see him kind of like bring up the Midwest, like Texas kind of got brought up in music.
Yeah.
But I would like to say like if it were to come to that, I would move back, but I don't think I'm moving back to the Midwest at all, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things you just got to come to terms with. But I mean, it would be really cool to see the come up there. I think that it's really important. Before we move on, do you ice fish? Because he ice fishes.
Yeah, I wasn't like huge into it, but it was always fun to go out with like buddies and stuff and just catch. Basically, it doesn't really matter, just any kind of like panfish,
Sure.
bluegill and that, just whatever, sunnies. But it was really just like the hang, like going out on the ice, getting drunk and eating food and hanging with your buddies, and there's nothing like getting all bundled up when it's freezing outside and just like
Nothing
trying
like freezing your ass off.
dude, and that's why I'm not moving back to the Midwest.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
bet.
I'm done with that, dude. I had a good 22 years up there and I'm done with it.
Sure. I always complain about the winters here, even though they're not all that cold. But and then I talk to a guy like that and he's like, yeah, man, like we just like sit in this shack. I'm totally downplaying what he said. He like made it sound a lot more professional than I'm making it sound. But he was like, yeah, we just like sit in this shack and we just like drill this hole with this. I forget what he called it. You probably know what it's called, but
An
you drill
auger
the hole.
with an auger,
Yeah, with an auger. And
yeah.
then we were like looking at pictures of augers and like we like spent a whole like 15 minutes.
Bro.
And I was like, dude, why don't you get this one that's like looks like a lawnmower? You can just like ride it out there. And he goes, yeah, but that's it. Like I'm talking like if you go listen to the pod, the middle of the episode is us just talking about augers. It was
Is
so
this
fun.
you and Anderson?
Yeah, it was great. It was
Okay.
so great. I don't know. I learned a lot about ice fishing that day. It was very interesting, incredibly interesting.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was cool. I couldn't do it, but I thought it was cool. That's great. It's really awesome. From Wisconsin, from the Midwest, in Nashville. Really cool how that whole scene's coming up. I agree with you. I hope that it makes the jump up, like kind of like Texas. I agree that was a good comparison. And we see more people out of there. I think it's awesome. Now, so you go to Nashville, right? And you're there, and you said I'm gonna use my context clues here. You said you spent 22 years in the Midwest, which means you moved to Nashville at 22.
Yeah,
Okay.
yep.
So you've been there ever since. So what have you learned in this short time, right? Because you know, you moved to a songwriting town. but you're also putting music out yourself. Like, was there a moment where you moved there and you said, I just want to do songwriting? Like, that's all I want to do. I'll put music out just to show people that I put music out. But for the most part, I just want to do songwriting. Or was there an itch for both on both sides?
Yeah. So when I moved to town, I kind of wanted to focus on the songwriting thing right off the bat, you know, because I don't think I had co-written at all. I think my first co-write was after I moved here. And I had been writing like little songs like by myself or whatever, but it really, I really needed like a lot more experience. And then, but anyway, so I moved to town and I started writing and writing for like friends. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of how it always starts in town here. You get your like your circle, and like your circle are usually like artists and stuff like that. And yeah, that was like the main focus. I was just writing. And then I really miss being on stage. So probably like 6 months or so into living here, I was like, well, I'm gonna do like the artist thing, because I had a cover band back home. And I just decided that I miss being on stage. I miss singing. Right. I wanted to do both. So since then, since I moved to town, I've just been wanting to do both of them. And I've had I think I've had probably 8 to 10 different cuts from different artists, but they're all like smaller artists and stuff like that. Anderson being one of them.
Cool.
But yeah, so I think I'm doing both.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it's really cool. But do you struggle to balance the two? Is probably a good way to put it. Like, do you sometimes find yourself focusing more, like, and it could go in stints, right? Like for like 6 months, you could find yourself really heavy in the writing, and you're like, oh shit, like I'm really, you're kind of like forgetting the artist side of things, or vice versa. Like, how do you balance those two things? Cause I feel like that'd be a really struggle for me. Cause like, if like the one thing I'm not good at in life is multitasking, right? I wear a lot of hats. I do a lot of different things, but I don't multitask really well. Like even last night, I was trying to like get ready for next week. Honestly, I was watching Friday Night Lights. I didn't get a lot done. Just didn't.
Yeah.
So like, right. I struggle with multitasking. Is that something you struggle with?
Yeah, dude. I'm so bad. Like, if I have a list of things to get done, like I will end up trying to do multiple things at once, and then that just leads me to being like Netflix.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I just get like overwhelmed.
Yeah. That's just something I'm not good at, but I admire the ones that can do both, and that can write, and that can play gigs as well, and honestly not get burned out. Like, I don't know how you do that. And that's actually like a really interesting thing that I want to touch on. Like, what keeps you burning out? Because for me, right, like if I'm you and you're in your position, right, you're writing all these songs with all these people, and honestly, let's not like beat around the bush, like you're not making a lot of money off it. So like,
no,
you look and you're putting all this work in and there's very, very little return. And you're just like, how do you stay encouraged at the end of the day?
Dude, it all starts with a dream. I mean, like that's what's cool about, oh man, there's so much shit you could touch on this, but, that's what's cool about being like a quote unquote dreamer.
Yeah.
Like it never ends and you're always reaching for better. So like, if I play, say start out, like, I was just looking at your hat, start out like, you know, when I got to town, I was like, dude, I got to play Whiskey Jam. And then I played Whiskey Jam. But you know, there's still more to be done, you know? And then it's like, if you look at like my list of places to play, it's like Red Rocks is like right at the very, you know, it's right there at the top. And then it's like, okay, well, like I made Red Rocks, like now what, you know, like I'll never achieve like what I need. And like, I think my motivation comes from like the dream. Like, I don't know what I would do without a dream, just like chasing something.
I think so.
And like I don't know any other way to live. So like when I sit down to write or when I play, it's not like it's super exhausting. It can be, but I mean at the end of the day, yeah, I'm chasing constantly, just running, going, going, going. And if I didn't have that, I don't know what I would do. Like
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'd do.
I love that. I love that. I live life that way too. That's how I try and live life. And like you do get tired, but that doesn't mean you stop either. So like that's it's an important way to put
Right.
it. Now, I live that way for a particular reason. I'm curious if this is also the reason why you do, but Matthew McConaughey made a speech years ago, years and years ago. He made a speech for an Oscar award. And he got up there and he basically said what you just said. He got up there and he said, there's only like three things in life I live by. I forgot what he said, but he said someone to look up to, and he pointed at the sky, right? Like he said,
Yeah.
faith is really important. Something to look forward to, and something to chase. So look forward to, I think he said, I want to say it was his family, and then for something to chase, he said, so someone asked me once, like, who your hero is, and I told him it's after thinking about it, it's me in 5 years. I've said this before. I've probably said this 50 episodes ago, but I've said this before.
That's
And
lit, dude.
he
I have
said,
not
me in
heard that.
5 years. And then his family was like, yo, that's kind of like arrogant. And he was like, yeah, well, it's me in 5 years. So then someone came and said, who's your hero? He goes, it's me in 5 years. And then he said, a couple years later, he said, who is it? He goes, it's me in 10. Because it's a good point. You'll
It
never
never ends,
achieve.
dude.
You'll never achieve. You're always gonna be chasing something. You're always gonna have something to follow. And I think that
I
it's
love
really
that.
important. So that's how I watched that for the first time, probably, I don't know, probably closer to 10 years ago. And when I did, I was like, whoa, that's crazy. It's true.
Green lights.
Green lights. Just keep on living. Have you ever read that book?
Yeah, I listened to like half of the audiobook. I used to listen to it when I would go on runs and stuff, and it was super motivating to keep going, you know?
I was the audiobook guy too. I
Yeah.
listened to the whole thing. I loved it. I thought it was great. I'm not really a big not a big reader per se.
Yeah, I can read autobiographies, and that's the only
Dude,
thing
me
I
too.
can.
That's the only thing I can read too.
And it's the only interesting, like,
Yeah.
it's the only thing that can like keep me focused
Yeah.
on the book. You know, otherwise I'm just like it, you
That's
know, I'll
it.
read,
For me
I
too.
don't
That's
know
crazy. It's so nuts. But
what.
so for me, Matthew McConaughey's book was like the most out there autobiography I've read. Cause like particular, and not that it was like I thought it was great. I loved it. And I purposely bought the audiobook so he could read to me for 6 hours, whatever it was. But I mean, I typically read like music autobiographies. Like I'm reading Craig Morgan's right now, right? And which is great. Like that his story's nuts. His story's crazy. But I'm reading his right now, and it's taken me a long time to read it because I just like don't have the attention span to sit there and just go for it. But it's great.
Right.
And then next up, I want to read George Jones's. I have that sitting in my bookcase too, so I'll read that too. But
Oh
like,
yeah, I got
it's
that
all
one
people that I read.
a couple of years ago, I guess, but I haven't even touched
Yeah, me
it.
neither. Mine's been sitting there for a while too. It sits on my music shelf. I have all my records and I have all this stuff, and then I just have that book, and I'm gonna read that book
Dude,
here.
that's so funny. We had like our collection probably looks so similar. I have like a bunch of like autobiography books, a bunch of records.
Yep.
That's so funny.
I have a little corner that I really value, except I'm probably gonna have to move some stuff around because I'm growing out of the vinyl section of the bookshelf. I'm gonna have to move it around because I've definitely bought a
Oh
lot of
no.
vinyl the last few months. It's a problem. It's definitely a problem. I don't know. It's a problem.
It's a good problem.
But see, you guys have it better out there because you have more country music available to you on vinyl at your record stores. I don't. Like, I just have to get lucky and find the stuff. And usually
It's
when I
like
do
what
find it. Yeah, I know. But usually when I do find it, it's like really, really old stuff. And not saying it's not good. It's just like some of it's just out of my range of interest. So, like I'm talking like stuff from like the 40s and 50s. So,
dope.
yeah.
So what, like, I don't know if you're like me, but when you buy vinyl, it has to be like old, like actual vinyl, like when the album came out, you know,
Okay.
like I can't, it's hard for me to buy, like go to Target and buy you know, a new record on vinyl. It just doesn't seem right. Sure. Unless it's somebody like Casey Musgraves that like sounds good on vinyl, you know, or like a, I don't know, like a Sturgill Simpson or something that, that kind of just sounds like he should be on vinyl.
Yeah.
But you can't, I just don't think you can like put on, I don't know, freaking like a Luke Combs vinyl.
Yeah.
And like, I just can't, I can't do that. I mean, I know like a lot of people.
So I was that way for a really, really long time. I like would go to all my local stores pretty often, like multiple times a week. And I would go and I'd look. And also like a lot of this stuff is not like super high condition first printings. Like the sleeves are beat up. So like you get them for like fairly cheap if you think about it. Right. Like it's not like you're spending like, well, at least me, like at the stores by my house, like I'm spending like $10 a record for the most part. So I can get a lot and like be okay. So I was that way for a really long time. I wouldn't buy anything online. I don't know what's going on here. I wouldn't buy anything online. Everything was through the stores and like, that was it. And I also, like obtained a lot. Like my uncle had a huge collection of old vinyl, like first printings. A lot of it was like, not like super in great shape. So it's not like it was expensive. And when I say not great shape, like the vinyl was actually good, but the sleeves were just like, you know, torn up and corners were dinged and whatever, which was fine for me because I listen to it. I don't like keep it there to stare at it. So like that stuff doesn't bother me. But so I've taken a lot of it, which was great. And then, but then as I got, like, I realized that I was like, I just don't have any country music. Like I are in retrospect, I don't have enough country music. And I was like, this is so annoying. So I did start looking online for places that I can buy, but mostly it was like, there's this place in Colorado I really like, that's, it's called like AJ's Books and Vinyl or something, and they're just some normal store out in Colorado, and they said,
where in Colorado is it?
Denver, I think there's one in Denver.
Oh dude, yeah, I'm going out to Denver in like a week and a half. I should
write, I'll send down. You the address, you should go.
Yeah, please,
but,
do.
It's pretty cool. Like I saw their posting on eBay because they posted. I really love Dan Seals. I don't know if you remember Dan Seals, but I love Dan Seals.
Oh yeah, I think I have a couple of his records.
And his stuff is like, I would never find his stuff here. And also, like, they don't print his stuff, so it's not like you can just like find it.
Right.
So I just like happened to find one of his records, like one of my favorite by him, on eBay, and they were selling it. So when I bought it, I like went on their website and I sent them an email. I was like, if I like sent you a list of stuff I'm looking for, would you guys like sell it to me? And I don't know if you do it this way, but like, would you do that? Like, I'm all the way in New Jersey. And they're like, yeah, totally. So I sent them a list of like a bunch of stuff and they got back to me with what they had. And I bought most of it because it was like fairly cheap. So that's how I've been doing it too. I have a couple of new printing stuff, I'm not going to lie. Like, I really love Eric Church. So I have a lot of Eric Church on vinyl. But otherwise, that's like my newest stuff and everything else is older. So
yeah, I actually collect like, so it all started in high school. I used to go meet my buddy, Jake Hendricks. He was a buddy of mine in high school, and we both like learned how to play guitar together. And then we both kind of got back into country music together. So honestly, if I didn't like meet him, I don't know if I'd be doing like country music right now. It's pretty wild.
Thank God for Jake.
Yeah, seriously. But we would go every Friday, we'd go to Walmart and we'd pick up the new country record, you know, the CD.
Yeah.
And I just have stacks, like so many CDs.
That's actually so cool.
And then I started collecting vinyl and then cassettes. So I actually have like a shit ton of like, I get a bunch of 90s artists.
Nice.
And then I try to get every single one of their cassettes.
Sure.
I have like nine Alan Jackson, you know, a bunch of like George Strait ones. And so like my music collection is just like too much. Like I don't have room for this stuff, but
I find that so cool. Like I find that really, really cool because like I really wanted to get into the cassette world, but I just like didn't have the room for it. So I didn't do it. Cause as of right now, I don't have the room. Now, if I do, it's a problem, but, I do occasionally like buy CDs here and there. Cause I drive an older car. So it's easier. Like if my phone dies basically, and, like I don't have a charger, I just like pop a CD in. And sometimes I like that, in general. Yeah.
I miss that so much.
I actually like think it's like kind of cool, especially like when I'm on a road trip or something and I just like don't want to like fiddle around with like making sure I have the right songs on. I just like pop a CD and let it ride.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, I just miss like walking out, taking the plastic off, opening the CD. This is what I'd do every time. I'd take the CD out, put it in my stereo in my car, and then I'd take the booklet out and I would just be like, okay, who wrote this song? Who wrote this song?
That's
You
the
know?
best part about it, right?
Yeah, it's just having like that physical thing. And like, I know it's leaving. But I don't think that I think there'll always be some sort of physical music, whether people can play it or not, because they just like to have something they can hold
There's
on
always
to.
going to be crazy fucks like us, I'm telling you. Always.
Yeah.
Always. It's funny because a long time ago I was able to have Tony Arata on here, who's written a bunch of
Oh, dang.
hit songs.
Yeah. That's
And
lit.
Tony at the time was putting a record out. This is like 2 years ago. He's putting a record out. His daughter, Katie, awesome person, just good heart all around. And she was like, hey, he's putting an album out. And when I talked to him about the album, I was asking him about it. And he's like, honestly, Kyle, these are just like songs that I've loved forever. And a lot of them are like 15 years old and just never got cut. Like most of, like he said, all of these songs were ones that just he'll never see going anywhere. He loves them, but they just never found a home and he doesn't want them to go unheard. So he put them on his own album, which I thought was incredible. And he made a bunch of CDs and she like asked if she can send me one of the CDs. And she said, I know like people probably don't listen to them anymore, but like the liner notes are in there and you can read the liner notes and that's pretty cool. And I told her that I actually do occasionally listen to CDs, but I don't listen to this one because this one's signed, so it sits in my room.
Oh, yeah.
I really love Tony Arata. I always have. So like it's signed, so I just leave it in my room and it doesn't come out of my room. But the liner notes are the coolest part about it. It's like I'm just like, okay, because essentially it's like a songwriter project because it's not overproduced. It's like basically him and a guitar the whole
Right.
way, which is pretty cool.
Dude, that's exactly how I want to start releasing or just like doing music in general. Like I really want to just kind of dumb it down and I don't know, are you a fan of like Eric Dylan at all?
Love Eric Dylan.
Have you listened to his new record,
Yes.
the Stray
I think
Dog?
it's fantastic. So
Yeah,
abstract. I love it.
dude, that's kind of the direction that I'm
That's cool.
about to be taking. And I just feel like since I'm getting older and I can keep like writing these songs that are fun, and I love to party on stage. Like that's I love to just run around with a mic and just get the crowd going. But my heart is really at like those deep, meaningful songs, you know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
And just kind of like that, just storytelling, the more mature type shit. And that's kind of like where I'm heading as an artist.
I kind of
But
see that like with the like I feel like you gave us a little bit of a glimpse of that with like the Simple Sessions, right? Like those songs are kind of like those songs
yeah.
are kind of like a little bit more raw and you just like talk like I think Call It Good's a great song, right? So like
Yeah.
I don't know, I think that vibe was really great for you and like I think all your like I think you sound great in all your music, but I thought that though personally those three songs are like my favorite where I was like wow, like I could really see him doing this side of things.
Yeah.
I just think it caters to your voice really well too, so that's why I liked it, but
Yeah, it's funny because I hear people say that, like, people that I like trust, and that aren't just like saying like, oh yeah, like I like your music or whatever. Those are the people that, like you, it just like means a ton because like that's the kind of stuff I really like. But that's the stuff that's not getting the streams,
that's true.
it's not like going crazy, it's not getting playlisted, it's not doing like my first couple songs did. But yeah, dude, that means a lot because that's kind of where I'm headed, and
Yeah.
if I don't have people that, if I don't hear that people are enjoying that kind of stuff, it makes it that much harder for me to be like, okay, like this is the stuff I should really be focusing on, you
So
know?
then let me ask you, without like discouraging your ambition, but like obviously the Simple Sessions and like a song like Whiskey Don't or like Fender Bender or like polar opposites of each other, right? Like that's just, but like, and that's totally okay. Like there's so many people that do that, and that's great, right? Like you gotta read both sides of the playing field. But do you think that like, is it, if you want to go the more raw storytelling, slow down route, which I think is fantastic. Obviously, that's kind of my bread and butter. I love stuff like that. I love stuff that makes me think. I think that's why I love that Eric Dylan record. It's like you listen to that whole thing, and you're just like, man, like what is he really trying to say here? But then you can interpret it in your own ways, right? And I think Eric's a great guy. And that's why he's such a successful writer. But do you think that like honing in on your writing will just make all that a lot easier? Right? Because like you're writing really deep stuff. So like at that point, so like you can really pull from all these other areas instead of just writing a drinking song that may flow out a little bit easier. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's definitely more meaningful. And it makes it I can write all these like upbeat like party songs and everything, and like they feel good, and like it feels good when they get like playlisted and stuff, but like the way the world works now, it's like people are consuming stuff like really fast, and they just want something that's like catchy to the ear. And I think we need to go back to like the simplicity of it all,
Sure.
and like where like music started, you know? And yeah, I just think writing these songs are, you know, it's just a lot better and easier for me to actually sit down and wrap my head around why I'm doing this when I'm
That's so
writing
great.
for meaningful, I guess.
I think that's so great. And it's funny because like I was having a conversation the other day where someone was just like, we were talking about why I listen to country music, and then I recorded a pod with obviously this is a few weeks back. If you're listening now, this is already out, but put out a pod with Adam Hood, who's a really successful writer, especially out of Alabama. And we were talking about like why he, you know, because he's not in his 20s, right? Like, you know, he's probably in his 40s, and we're talking about like why he found himself doing the what he's doing the way he's doing it. And a lot of it had to do with the guys in the 90s that started recognizing songwriters like Garth Brooks and Tony Rada, and like Clint Black writing a lot of his own stuff. And you know, like Travis Tritt had a big dip in songwriting too. So like there's like guys like that that were influences that just happened to come up around the time that he was also, you know, falling in love with music. So I bring that up to say like what you just said about the fact of, you know, you're finding yourself through these songs and figuring out why you're doing what you're doing. I don't think there's another genre in music, or should I just say another community that wraps and gathers around songwriting like country music. I think that's where the separation is compared to everything else, right? It's like people in country music value the song. They value the words that the person's trying to say. So at the end of the day, no matter if these new songs or whatever you're trying to write gets playlisted or not, there's going to be someone like myself that's going to listen and say, whoa, like this is some dude chasing that neon rainbow, right? And like everything he's trying to say is something I can relate to in one way or another. And like I personally see that as more valuable than putting out a drinking song that people love. You know what I
And
mean?
that's just kind of like the problem right now. It's that the world is filled with more everything's so disposable with like TikTok and everything, and we just need more people that are like us, I guess, to like actually like really, really appreciate it, or else it's like you got us and then you got like our parents' generation that'll really appreciate it more,
Right.
And I think we're just kind of going through a phase, and you know, like that's kind of how the world works. I think, you know, everything comes back around. So I think it's gonna come back to the music more. And until then, there's still going to be people like us that are going to be making that music for the people, for us, you know.
Sure. 20%. I totally get it. I think you're right. You know, it's funny because, like, do you feel like, I feel like there's people like us, and then you think that there's people like us, and then you really get to talk to them, and you're like, oh, they're actually not like us. You know what I mean? Like I, and there's people like in this, what's the word I'm looking for here? In this, like, small indie creator world that I guess I found myself involved in, that like you think they know and you're very similar, and then you realize that like not really, like kind of, but like but like they don't geek about this stuff as much as like you or I would, right? So I don't know, it is, you know, it's harder to come by. It definitely is. And but I think you're right. I think that there are people out there where the tables go in full circle, and you're going to see that more and more, like kind of like what we're seeing with like the more traditional sound, like that's coming back around because people realize like that's what they want to do.
Dude, and what trips me out is like the whole like Zach Bryan thing. So like that's like perfect. Like he's so raw. There's nothing really to it. You know, it's almost just like him, a guitar and a harmonica or whatever. And I never thought I'd see the day where like less produced music was gonna be like more popular, you know. And you look at the new Richmond guy, you know, like that's a prime example. It's like, dude, like, this guy literally just recorded a song on his phone and he released the phone audio on Spotify, and that's what people are bumping in their car somehow. You know,
it's true.
And that's exactly what you're saying. I mean, people are just like, they're coming back around to kind of like the rawness of it all.
And I think it's so important, right? It's so important.
Yeah. I mean, that's number one. That's where we started, dude. That's music. Right.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. And I really hope that what we're saying, we see going forward. Like, you know, I think the whole thing with Zach and what he does for the, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie and tell you that like I'm the biggest Zach Bryan fan in the world, because I'm not. Like, I just, it's something I used to be, like when I was in, you know, college years back and he was like just tipping the iceberg, kind of like Oliver Anthony. I really liked it. Somewhere he lost me along the way, but that's okay. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not something that I listen to regularly. But what I do think is great is that he's taken this whole, he's like a male version of Taylor Swift, is the way I explain it. It's like he's taken this whole like group of people that like may not even touch country music prior, and now they like want to listen, which is like, and like want to hear what these guys have to say, which is cool, but also ironic because he like doesn't want to be involved in the country music industry. But it's funny because, like, you know, you get all these people and you're just like, yeah, I listen to country music, and they're like, oh, I really love Zach Bryan. And I'm like, okay, that's the start. Like, you started.
It's tough when an artist like that starts getting like extremely popular, because that, you know, there's so many people in this world now that are like more like followers, I guess, you know. And it's just like, because, you know, their whole friend group is listening to Zach Bryan, they have to, you know, type of thing. You know, it's just kind of like a, you know, a trend in a way. But that, I'm not putting anything, you know, bad on like Zach Bryan or anything. I think he's such a talented dude, you know, obviously. But like you said, I'm in the same boat. I'm just like, well, I don't know. Like, it's just not kind of like my go-to jam music. But
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But you got to respect it at the end of the day.
Right, exactly.
Like, I tell my girlfriend all the time, I'm like, Taylor Swift is not my go-to jam music, but I respect the hustle. Like, I respect why.
Yeah, dude, there's so many. I mean, there's freaking rappers, heavy metal people that I mean, shit that I don't even listen to. I'm just like, dude, these guys, we all have the same, like, brain.
Yeah.
You know?
Everyone's part of the same one.
Yeah. Like, back to, like, talking about, like, dreamers and stuff like that. You know, that's basically what it all comes down to. Like, we're all, like, even you, like, yeah, I know you don't, like, do music, like, you don't make it, but...
thank God for that. No one wants to hear that.
No one. Hey, but you're making the next best thing, you know, like you're doing what you can to contribute to your dream, and that it's music, and we're all intertwined, and without like people like you, we wouldn't have a platform either, you know. So we're all kind of working with each other, and yeah, it's always cool to talk to people just that are like-minded, you
Yeah,
know what I mean?
it's really cool. And like, I always like people always, and it's silly, but like, you know, you kind of like do this kind of, I think it'd be different if I lived somewhere else, but like you do this country music thing in northern New Jersey, and like, it's not like I have friends around here that also do the same thing, or also, let's not sell it short. Like, I don't have friends that are passionate about country music. Like, I don't. I have friends that listen to country music occasionally, and I have a couple that listen to it more than occasionally. No one really cares up here, right? So like for me, doing this is getting my itch, right? But for you, playing those songs that are like really heartstring pulling or really like make you feel something, like that's your itch. So
Yeah.
it depends on how you look at it, but you're right. Like every dreamer has their own dream and how they dream about it. I think it's really cool that I think just the dreamer mindset's really cool, but and because I am one, but I just think it's really cool that people have their own avenues and they can, you know, figure out the way they want to go and they can do it their way. And especially in 2023, you can do, you're wearing a Muscadine Bloodline hat right now, right? Like those guys did it their own way. They did it exactly the way they want to do it, and they're doing a great job at it. And in 2023, you can do that. You can do that. In 1993, you couldn't do that. But in 2023, you can. And I think that's really cool that there's people paving their own ways and doing their own things and changing it up a bit. Even if someone doesn't love it, like it's like, who cares? Screw them. I'm gonna do it my way. And I think that's important.
Right. And it sounds like you need to move to Nashville.
Let's talk after I end this recording. How about that?
Yeah, I always said like Nashville is like a city full of best friends that you don't know yet, just
Yeah.
because also like-minded. It's like you walk into any bar, maybe not Broadway, but you know, Midtown or whatever, and you walk in and like everybody is just like you all. You can walk up to a stranger and be like, "Hey, do you want to come to my house tomorrow morning?" Like, that's how crazy this town
Yeah.
is. Like, it's such a weird concept to wrap your head around if you're like from anywhere else. That's what's so nice about this place, you know. It's like all I think about is music, and I'm surrounded by it, you know. There's not really a better place. So yeah, I mean, you getting your itch up in Jersey, you know, that's awesome. But like somebody like you, I think you should be like surrounded by
I don't
it. You
know.
know, you're
It's
killing it.
funny. It's funny. Thanks, man. Thanks, man. But it's funny because like you, I feel like people, and I'm saying this when I say you, I mean me, but like I didn't know what a passion really was until I found music. You know what I mean? Like I discovered that I wanted to be involved in the music industry in one way or another later in my, you know, like as I hit 20, 21, 22, like, you know what I mean? So later on, when I already had other things that I needed to take care of, and but I feel like you don't realize, or I didn't realize what a passion really was until like I woke up every day and realized I'm almost 4 years in and of the 175, 80 consecutive weeks, and I've never stopped. And I guess the reason for that is because I'm actually passionate. And if I wasn't as passionate as I thought I was, I would have stopped. You know what I mean? It's like, and it's that simple. It's kind of like when you know, but I didn't know until I knew, basically, in the weirdest way possible. But it's true. It's like I would love to be surrounded by this stuff every single day. Like I am in a smaller scale, but I'm surrounded by this stuff every single day and it never gets boring. Never.
Right.
Now,
Yeah.
how cool is that, man? How cool
That
is that?
just goes right back to like what we started this conversation on. You know,
Yeah.
like
It's just.
there's nothing like chasing something. I couldn't imagine. My both sides of my family grew up factory workers and never really had money, and so I think that's helped me too, is that like the money situation, like it hasn't been hard to be broke, you know. Like I know how I can survive with like nothing, you know. So like that helped a lot. And you know, I just didn't want to be a blue collar worker, you know, just kind of just like working for nothing, you know? And my dad had done everything. Like when I was growing up, he was like, yeah, you gotta go to college. You gotta get a good paying job. And I totally get that. Obviously he wants like the best for me.
Right.
So, I mean, I went to tech college because my grandma and my dad just pushed me because they're like, hey, we don't want you to be working in a factory stuff. And that was obviously the only way they knew.
Right.
But I really found out that like, okay, like I can make money doing something I love if I'm passionate enough about it.
Yeah.
I'm a believer, honestly, like if you, you know, if people come up to you and they're like, well, you're lucky because like you have a good voice, so you can just go out and make. I'm just like, no, dude. Like you can, if you have that passion in your head, like you can make it work no matter how weird your voice
is.
But you know, I've been doing it since I was 17. I mean, that was my first bar gig, and still hasn't gotten old. So like, there's something there, you know?
I love it. If it doesn't get old, keep chasing. I think it's important. And, you know, it'll pan out and you're going to be like, I remember when, and I think that's the coolest part. It's like, you get to look back and in a few years and be like, wow, this all happened because I worked my butt off for X amount of years. And I think that's really cool. And, it's cool to see the change and the transformation at the end of the day. I think it's really important and super, super, super cool. Corey, dude, what's next for you? What's coming up the pipe? I know you put Whiskey Down out a few weeks back. What's coming next? Is there anything more in 2023, or are we going to have to wait till 2024?
Yeah. So right now, I'm in the studio. I've been in the studio kind of like on and off all year, and planned on releasing 3 songs this year, but this year's like flying by. And I'm working on an album for next, possibly.
I'm going to hold you to it.
This is the goal for next year. I have a track list that I'm building right now and hopefully get in the studio by like December to start working on the project. That's funny. I wasn't really going to like say much about this, but here we are. yeah. So like I was saying earlier, I kind of want to focus on more of the singer songwritery, very laid back, acoustically driven type music. So that's kind of like what I'm looking at for next year. This year, I'm going to say we'll have one out.
Nice.
We're out this year, just a single. I can't promise you that it's going to be like the more singer-songwritery thing. That'll be more of like a rebrand of like Corey Wise, you know, type of thing. I love this music that I'm about to put out, you know. It actually is like super meaningful, but it's produced, you know.
Cool.
But yeah, maybe one more this year, and then next year, you know, I'm just grinding the road and hopefully getting some more out. Yeah.
I love it. Fantastic. I can't wait. And if you're listening right now, you should be excited too. This is some great stuff, some really, really great stuff, and really cool to see this stuff come out of different areas of the country. That's not just Georgia and Tennessee and Alabama. No hate. Love all those guys too. it's really great to just spread the wealth a little bit and spread the love. I think it's important. You get so many different perspectives, and it's really, really cool. Corey, dude, I'm really excited about this stuff, and really excited to see what you got coming for the next year and a half, next 2 years, whatever you got. I'm really excited to hear it all. Dude, thanks for coming to hang out with me. I appreciate it. Let's do it again sometime.
Dude, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Anytime. Everybody, you can go follow Instagram or Corey. Wow. You can go follow Corey on Instagram. Can't talk. It's early. At Corey _W. That's Corey_W. And you can go stream all his music wherever you stream music. Whiskey Don't. That's a new one. That one's out now. There's a ton of great stuff there. Whiskey Dump, the Simple Sessions that came out last year. Fender Bender with Michael Pace is there. Some great stuff. And you just get a really good perspective on who Corey is as an artist and as a writer. And like I said, I think this new stuff is going to tailor really well to that. But everybody, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. Stream with your friends, share with your friends, do all that good stuff. Thanks so much. I'm Kyle Corbis. That's Corey Wise. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.